Thank you. You may be seated. Just by way of a quick review, overview of Revelation, we've been studying this now for 30 lessons. It's hard to believe we're through 13 chapters and we've had 30 lessons. We remember that as we went through the study of the seven churches, there was a different church. And again, I don't subscribe to each church representing a period of time, but I do believe, ladies and gentlemen, in the church age. And from Pentecost until the rapture is what we know as the church age. And at Pentecost, the Holy Spirit came down. And at the rapture, the Holy Spirit and all His children are going up. Amen. And once that happens, God, if we could say, resets the stopwatch for Israel. And there's a seven-year period known as the tribulation. Right now, we're working our way into the three-and-a-half-year period, the last three-and-a-half years of the tribulation. Mind you, we talked about it last night. The church is gone during the tribulation. The church is not on earth. She's being judged for her works. Will we each be judged at the judgment seat of Christ? And lest we think we get off easy, and by the way, to a little degree we do not have to go to the great white throne judgment, amen, and be judged for our sins. Every one of us will give account of himself to God, and our works will be, as it were, put in a furnace, and we will either, our works will either be burnt up and will suffer loss, or they'll remain like gold and silver and precious stones, and will be rewarded by God. All that's taking place in heaven while this is taking place on earth. We come to that period known as the Great Tribulation in Revelation chapter 13. In your introduction, on your outline, in our last two lessons, we've been focusing on the counterfeit satanic trinity. And we give you a couple references there, and again, one to add there, you can write it in after that reference there, is Revelation 20 verse 10. The most concrete reference on this satanic trinity that we've been talking about and we'll finish up tonight is in Revelation chapter 20, verse 10. It says, "And the devil," that's one, "that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast," that's two, "and where the false prophet are," that's three, "and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever." Just as the real Trinity, amen, the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost are going to reign in heaven forever and ever, the satanic Trinity, talked about here in Revelation, is going to burn in the lake of fire forever and ever and ever. And you say, wow, that is awful harsh. They have doomed, damned, and deceived so many. That is what they deserve. They are getting what they deserve. Each one of these characters, we've talked about this on your outline, each one of these characters counterfeits the ministry of God. And we looked at these. I know this is all review, but it's healthy review. The dragon, Satan, the counterfeit of God the Father. The dragon, or Satan, and we give you all the references there in Revelation 12 and 13. The counterfeit of God the Father, this is easily seen in A, his desire for worship. We remember we looked at that last week when he said to Jesus, he brought him up and showed him all the kingdoms of the world, and he said, "I'll give you every one of these if you'll fall down and what? Worship me." And of course, Jesus said, "Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God and him only." You know what he said? He said, "It is written." Amen. By the way, that's the offensive weapon you have against the devil. When he says to you, Brother Becker, "You're not saved," you can say, "It is written, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." When you feel that God is far from you and the devil tries to convince you of that, you can say, "It is written, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." Amen. When you get afraid, you can quote it and say, "It is written, fear thou not, for I am with thee," Isaiah 41:10. I can't tell you how many times in my life, in my ministry, even now, I'll have to say to the devil, "It is written." You know the thing about the devil is he never gives up trying to discourage us. He never gives up. He'll use circumstances without. He'll use shortcomings within. Amen. To try and discourage us. You know what we have to battle him back? It is written. The Word of God. Amen. And so we see there, A, that the dragon is a counterfeit of God the Father for his desire to worship. And then in Revelation 13, B, his receipt of worship. his receipt of worship there. Revelation 13:4, it says, and they worship the dragon. They worship the dragon. Here, Satan is counterfeiting the ministry of God. Second bullet point there, not only the dragon, Satan, but the beast or Antichrist. And we give you the references there. The Antichrist, the beast, is the counterfeit of God the Son, Jesus Christ. This is easily seen in his healing from a deadly wound, a counterfeit of Christ's resurrection, healing from a deadly wound, and desiring to be worshipped as God. We know that the Antichrist, according to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse number 7, it says he will, or verse number 4, that he will sit in the temple, declare himself to be God, and demand worship, thus commencing the abomination of desolation written by Daniel the prophet and spoken of by Jesus Christ in Matthew 24:15. So desiring to be worshipped with God. Third bullet point there, we have the dragon, we have the beast, and then we have the second beast, the false prophet. The second beast, the false prophet. Revelation chapter 13, verse 11 and 12. He is the counterfeit of God, the Holy Spirit. He's the counterfeit of God, the Holy Spirit. He'll be taking up most of our lesson tonight. In our last lesson in particular, we looked at the Antichrist. He is Satan's Superman, the Antichrist. And we reviewed just eight or seven things here, and then we'll get into our lesson for tonight. We reviewed the wonder of the beast, how the world wondered after the beast, our text says. And then we reviewed the wound of the beast. What is that wound? And we gave you several examples of what it could be. I believe it's a deadly wound from which he was healed, perhaps an assassination attempt. Then we talked about the wandering after the beast, how the whole world wondered at who is like unto the beast and who's able to make war with him. Then we talked about the worship of the dragon and the beast. Those men that in life would not worship God, listen to me now, worship Satan and the Antichrist. You say, isn't that going on right now? Just a little. And I'll tell you why, just a little. The restraining influence of the Holy Spirit is still here. But at the rapture, it's gone. He's gone, we're gone, restraint is gone. There will be a time of Satanism and spiritism such as the world has not seen since before the flood. The wound of the beast, the wandering of the beast, the worship of the dragon and the beast, the words of the beast. We talked about it, how he blasphemes God. We looked at the warfare of the beast, number 6, and how he would make war against the saints and overcome them. And then we looked at the witness of the saints, how they patiently trusted God. That's what we're to do too. Patiently trust God. Today, we will examine the ministry of the vile false prophet. We give you the references there where he is called the false prophet. Revelation 16:13, Revelation 19:20, Revelation 20 verse 10. He's called the false prophet who is the anti-Holy Spirit. The anti-Holy Spirit. In the place of the Holy Spirit in the Satanic Trinity. On page 2, we have Roman numeral number 8. We see the wonder of the second beast. Let's look at verses 11 and 12. The wonder of this second beast. It says, and I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth. And he had two horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon. And he exerciseth all the power of the first beast before him, and causeth the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast whose deadly wound was healed. What are some wonders about this first beast? Well, the first thing I notice in verse 11 is his disposition. Look at his disposition. You say, how can you see that, Pastor? He's calm, cool, and collected. Notice he is not a lamb, but like a lamb. Says here he has two horns like a lamb. He is the ultimate example of Matthew chapter 7, verse 15. Blank line there, write Matthew 7, 15. And then let's go there to Matthew chapter 7, verse 15. a verse we all ought to be familiar with in our modern day Christianity. Going through the book of Jude, if you remember our lessons on Jude, the picture of our lesson on Jude was from this verse, the metaphor taken from this verse. It says here, beware of, and imagine that, beware of false prophets. This is the false prophet that we're looking at, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. See, this false prophet comes on the scene, and he's not bombastic. He's not overly ambitious like the beast is. He comes on, he's calm, cool, and collected, but he's the ultimate example of a wolf in sheep's clothing. Something else we notice, not only his disposition, but his dialogue. In verse 13, or verse number 11 of Revelation 13, it says there, and he spake as a dragon. His disposition may be calm and cool, but his speech betrays him on your outline. His speech betrays him. It is dragon-like, satanic, full of blasphemy. He blasphemes God. He speaks just like the dragon. Not only his disposition and his dialogue, but we see his dominion in verse number 12. And he exercises all the power of the first beast. He has great power, as much as the first beast, as much as the Antichrist. And again, this is a counterfeit of the Trinity. You see, Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit, you know what they are? Equal in power. Amen? They're both God. Amen? They both make up that triune Godhead. See here, this is a counterfeit of the dominion that the first beast is given. The second beast, this false prophet, has as much power as he does. But also, very, very interesting here in point number 4, we see not only his disposition, his dialogue, his dominion, but we see his deference. Or giving place in verse 12. It says there, and he causeth the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast. Here is his counterfeiting ministry. Here is his counterfeiting ministry like that of the Holy Spirit. As the Holy Spirit points people to Christ, and I want you to write down this cross reference, and then we'll go there. As the Holy Spirit points people to Christ, John 16, verses 13 and 14, there on your cross reference. John 16, verses 13 and 14. Go there with me if you would. I'd like to look this up. And you see here that this false prophet counterfeits the ministry of the Holy Spirit. In verses 13 and 14 of John chapter 16, as soon as you get there, John chapter 16. Remember here, Jesus is comforting his disciples. We have the Last Supper in John 13. And then from John 14, 15, 16, we have Jesus speaking to his disciples. And he's comforting them. And he says, look in verse 7 if you would. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And he's speaking here of the Holy Spirit, the Comforter. Look at verse number 13. Howbeit, when the Spirit of truth is come, he will guide you into all truth. Now notice this, class. For he shall not speak of himself. Just a sidebar. Beware of any quote-unquote fragment of Christianity that magnifies the Holy Spirit above Jesus. Amen. And if you want to know who that is, I'll tell you in one word. Charismatic. Charismatics magnify the Holy Spirit. Listen, the Holy Spirit is God. We love the Holy Spirit. He lives inside us. But I'll tell you what the Holy Spirit does. The Holy Spirit in this church age, He's a road sign pointing people to Jesus. That's what the Holy Spirit does. Amen. He points unbelievers to Jesus. Here, the counterfeit Holy Spirit, the false prophet, does the same thing. Look there. He shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak of. He will show you things to come. He shall glorify me. For he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. Here in Revelation chapter 13, we notice the deference of the false prophet. Listen, Jesus is not greater than the Holy Spirit. They're equal. Their positions are different. This Holy Spirit is pointing people to the Redeemer. Amen? Just like, we're going to get into our Christian home improvement. Did you know husbands and wives are equal? Did you know that? Some of you are like, that's news to me. Amen? That we are, listen, we're equal. We're not better than another. We just have different offices that God gives to us. Different roles to play. Amen? Thank God for that. But here we see the deference of this false prophet. The false prophet points people to the Antichrist on your outline. The false prophet points people to the Antichrist. It says there in verse 12, he causeth the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast. Just as the Holy Spirit points people to Christ, the false prophet points people to the Antichrist. Whereas, on your outline, the first beast is a political leader. Whereas the first beast is a political leader. This second beast is a decidedly religious leader. And here again, by way of review, very important. We've mentioned it already, but it bears repeating. It is important to note that the terrible period of the tribulation begins with the rapture of the church. Revelation 4:1, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, amen, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first, then we which are alive, and boy, I hope it's we, amen. I hope we're the we that's alive, amen. Listen, I know Jesus said that he'll go with us through the valley of the shadow of death, but I just assume not ever see death, amen, and go up in the rapture. But either way, he's taking his church up. This terrible period of the tribulation begins with the rapture of the church, and more importantly, the removal of the restrainer of evil, the Holy Spirit. Go with me, please, to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Have it there in your outline, but these are verses you ought to mark in your Bible. If you highlight your Bible, or you underline your Bible, or you circle, verses 7 through 12 of 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 tell us so much. Actually, going all the way back to verse 3, talk about this Antichrist. But what happens is the Antichrist wants to come on the scene. Whenever he's here, and he may be here now, I don't know, in the world. By the way, I like what Dr. Malone said. I mentioned it a couple weeks ago. Many of preachers walked out on a prophetic limb and had it sawed off behind them. Listen, I don't know if Bill Gates is the Antichrist. I know a whole bunch of people that are dead that other people said are the Antichrist. They're not the Antichrist. I don't know who it is. Neither does anybody else. But it tells us something about him in verse 7 of 2 Thessalonians 2. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. It's working. It's moving towards an end. And then it says, only he who now letteth. That is an old English word meaning to hinder. He who now hinders or lets will let or hinder until he be taken out of the way, and then shall that be wicked be revealed. You say, who is that, Pastor Rich? Look at your outline. The Holy Spirit indwells every Christian. Cross references there, Ephesians 4:30. What's it say there? And grieve not the Spirit whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. You and I, listen, the day you truly trusted Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit came to dwell in you until it's time for you to go home. Okay? By virtue of the fact on your outline that all Christians have been taken at the rapture, the influence of the Holy Spirit will also be removed. That restrainer, that hinderer will not hinder anymore. Satan will have his heyday. This will truly be a period of hell on earth. It is through this that the false prophet steps on the scene and captivates the world through quote-unquote religion. Quote-unquote religion. Satanism, Spiritism, New Ageism, and apostate Christianity will reach new heights, or we put in parentheses there, depths. You see, this religious figure, he's going to bring the world together. The world that knows not Christ. And he's going to use religion. You say, Pastor, do you think it's the Pope? I don't know. I don't know. And neither does anybody else. It's going to be awful tough for the Pope to bring the Muslims and the Jewish people together. Amen? I don't know. Look, if you would, number 9, the works of the second beast. What are some works that he will do here in verses 12 through 16? We see there, first of all, he will direct worship. We've looked at that, verse number 12. And he causeth the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast whose deadly wound was healed. He's going to direct worship. Something else, according to verse 13, is he's going to do miracles. He's going to do miracles. Can I say this? And we've said it over and over again. Listen, you don't need a miracle when you have the Bible. This is the biggest miracle out there. 1,500 years, 40 plus writers, not one error. That's the biggest miracle. And so what's going to happen here? The church is gone, and so the false prophet, he'll do miracles, verse 13, and he doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire to come down from heaven, like a prophet of old named Elijah. This false prophet will counterfeit that miracle. He'll do miracles. Number 3, he'll deceive the people. Back in 2 Thessalonians, it talks about how they will believe a lie because they received not the love of the truth. Verse 13 there it says, and verse 14, he deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles. And then it says, he had which had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth, they should make an image to the beast. Number 4, he's going to design an idol. Design an idol. It's fascinating when you read the Bible to find that first world empire. That first world empire, that Babylonian empire of Daniel chapter 2. And what did they do in Daniel chapter 3? They made a huge image. And you remember the story of Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah? You say, who's that? That's Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Amen. I just like their Hebrew names better. And you remember, they were like, when everybody else started bowing down in worship, they were like a sore thumb that was just stuck in the air. They were just standing there like this. And they told them, you better worship that image. You better worship that beast, or we're going to throw you in the fiery furnace. And I like what they said. Hey, listen, King, we're not carefully answer you in this matter. We're not haughty or anything like that. Our God whom we serve is able to deliver us. But if not, we're not going to worship. Amen. We're not going to worship you. And of course, we know God protected him. Amen. But he designs an idol. Number 5, very interesting in verse 15, it says, and he had power to give life unto the image of the beast. He distributes, quote unquote, life. Listen to me. Nobody but God can create life. Nobody. They're trying in test tubes and all that, trying to get a cure for this and a cure for that. And listen, if you've got somebody with cancer, you certainly want to try to work at a cure for cancer. And I'm not opposed to that. But you listen to me. It says right there, and he had power given by God. Amen? Permitted by God. He had power to give life. Number 6, he'll also demand allegiance, won't he? Look at verse 16. And he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads. You say, Pastor, can I receive the mark of the beast? Not if you're saved. You're going to be long gone. Amen? Be long gone. Look, if you would, at number 10. Number 10, we see the world under the beast. What is the world under the beast in verse 16 and 17 there? He says, and causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, that no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Looking at your outline, the wicked world that is worshiping the Antichrist is now forced to receive a mark in their right hands or in their foreheads. Mark. Pastor, is it going to be a microchip? Is it going to be a barcode? I don't know, and neither does anybody else. Amen. It's okay to say that. Amen. It really is. It's going to be a mark in their forehead or in their right hands. That's what God tells us. Okay? But looking at your outline there, those that refuse the mark are killed or will starve to death. You say, what do you mean, Pastor? They'll starve to death. For they will not be able to buy or sell without the mark. I'm hungry. I'd like to get some corn. Let me see your mark. Well, I don't have a mark. I'm sorry. We only sell to people with the mark. Go to another store. My baby's hungry. She needs food. Let me see your mark. Well, I don't have a mark. I'm sorry. We only sell to people with a mark. People will literally starve to death. The world, on your outline, the world and its government, religion, and commerce are now finally under the airtight control of Satan. Important. Government, religion, and commerce. All under the airtight control of Satan. Here is the one world utopia that is the result, but not really in accord with the promise of communism. You know, communism all... By the way, communism's not dead, folks. It's just resting. It's alive and well, and sadly, within our borders, it's alive and well. And it's the idea of you think about Stalin's airtight control of government, religion, and commerce. And you know what happened? People starved to death by the millions during the famines of the 30s. In Russia, when he was falsifying, and it's such a long story, I don't have time to get into it. But this is that utopia that communism promised. We can just have a dynamic leader and we'd all just get in line. There's never come a more dynamic leader than the Antichrist. And yet, either you take the mark or you die. Number 11, and lastly, the wisdom concerning the beast's number. Verse 18, it says, here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of the man, his number is 666. And I started to study this, and I read this from this author, W.A. Criswell, and I don't believe anybody could say it any better. I'll read it verbatim. This is the ultimate of all human ingenuity and ableness. The most mankind will ever be to attain is to underneath the perfect seven. Remember, seven being God's number of perfection. Always a six, always a six. With himself, a six with his national government, a six with his laws, a six with the whole program by which we seek to make an Eden in this world and a millennium among mankind. Always that deafening, defeating, discouraging six. When we come to the end of the way, the book says here, it is still a six. The height of man's arrogance and the height of man's folly and the ultimate of man's self-will is still that falling short. A six, a six, and another six. This is the number of man, 666. Age, discouragement, death, failure, sin, war, destruction, hatred. The book says we never get beyond it. What's he saying there? That's the best man can do. Six. Six, six, never reaching the perfection of God. I'm so glad that the perfection of God reached down. Amen. That the seven reached down to the six and said, you can have my seven. You can be perfect. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Well, I know this has been a difficult and a discouraging and a dark chapter. I'm glad to be beyond it and glad to praise the Lord. Move on here. Amen. Let's have a word of prayer and we'll have an invitation hymn. 579 will be our invitation hymn. God will take care of you. Father, we love you and thank you so much for your goodness to us. Lord, thank you, Lord, for telling us about this awful period. Lord, help us, motivate us, move us to share Christ with others before there'll be so many that are left behind and they'll be forced with a choice. Either take the mark or die. Lord, today you say, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Help us to remember that as we go about our daily tasks, as we pass out gospel tracts, as we talk to people, as we invite folks to the house of God. Help us to remember it's fleeting, it's just for a moment. And one day you're going to come take us home. Lord, thank you for all that you do for us. Thank you so much for how you take care of us. We pray for your blessing now. Thank you again for this service in Jesus' name. 500